Good morning and welcome to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration that will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening. Welcome to Being Here. And I know you're not in the room with me, only Shia is, but I want to tell you he is one incredibly handsome man. Just got to say.
Well, that's pretty good after 37 years.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, taking a compliment like that is really not easy.
All right, I'm ready for a question. Ready for the question, everybody? Who is the designated driver of your life? Back in 2013, Shia and I wrote an article about this after four friends of ours were in a car accident where the car was totaled.
They all survived undamaged.
But each of them, in retrospect, realized the driver was distracted. She was more interested in chatting and keeping the festivities from a holiday party going. The person in the front seat had no interest in where they were going at all. And the two backseat drivers
weren't driving.
But they did notice something was up. And they
backseat passengers.
Yeah, backseat passengers. They disregarded signs saying the turnoff was ahead. They disregarded their intuition that things were not proceeding in a safe manner, just trusting themselves to fate. So today we're looking
in a way, mm-hmm. we're always trusting ourselves to fate. And in another way, it's almost all predetermined because things do happen that are outside our control. But if you bring awareness to how you're going about your life, our definition of awareness is a non-judgmental seeing of how you're operating. If you bring awareness to how you're operating in your life, then that awareness will serve you in good stead with your life. You will avoid those accidents that aren't necessary if you are there for it. If you see what's coming, if you look right in front of you, you can see the oncoming traffic. You can see the way the road moves. But if you're preoccupied, if you're in a thought about something in the past or something potentially in the future, well, then you miss being here to be appropriate for the current moment of your life. You know, I put some wood in the wood stove prior to coming up to the office. And I'm watching this, and I shut the stove down so it would be a very slow burn. And I'm watching the smoke move through the air, through the trees out there. It's very cool. It's like life happens if you're here for it. But if you're in your thoughts, you miss so much of your life. It's just not experienced. It's happening, but you miss it. Now, there's nothing wrong with missing things. I mean, if you're really enjoying where you are, but most of us automatically get lost in our thoughts. So today, this program is an opportunity, program, podcast, whatever, is an opportunity to strengthen your ability to pull yourself into the current moment of your life. And you can do that through listening and only listening. Not listening and typing emails, not listening and watching the impeachment investigation that's going on television, not listening and eating, but listening. Just purely by listening, you get pulled into the current moment of your life, and that simultaneously produces an instantaneous transformation in your ability to experience living. It's that simple. It's so simple, it's hard to understand.
Now, Shia just laid out a number of things, and you could have heard each of his suggestions, like listening, not listening while watching TV, or not listening while eating, for instance. And you can either hear his perspective from his point of view, or you can agree with it, say, yes, that's right, I'm fully listening, or no, I want to have my lunch. I designated this over lunch hour. You could actually simply hear what he has to say without the pros and the cons of your thought process. Those things may come up automatically. I suggest just letting them flow, letting them go. Keep tuning in to being here right now, particularly because we talked about when you're looking at who's the designated driver of your life, you can either be subject to the whims of the worlds around us or living life directly. And we are talking now about living life directly because some of the whims of life are the thought processes in our head that give us dictates. You know, I really should go to the gym, when you have no
intention
of going. So, but the dictate creates a conflict in you where...
Well, if you do things directly in your life, things get done. If you think about them and should I, shouldn't I, if you're, what's the word, ambiguous about your going about your life, weighing each thing on this hand and on that hand, I don't know if I should, then very little gets accomplished in your life. And you say, oh, I should have done that. Well, it's too late. That went by. See, this moment of now is where your life is taking place. It's all taking place in the current moment of your life. The future hasn't gotten here. The past is water under the bridge.
Let's talk about for a moment the difference between change and transformation. Change has better, worse, good, bad, right, wrong. It has the dichotomies. It's going towards something. Most of us are trained for goals to try to make our life better.
Change is incremental. It happens linearly, one step at a time. It's future-oriented, based in your past.
Now, transformation is not exclusive of those things. It's not. It does not exclude that you have goals or perhaps things you want to accomplish before the end of the day. But it really is based in right here, right now, without adding a value judgment for or against.
And transformation happens in an instant, not over time. There's a moment where you see something and it completes itself in that moment. So it's not about incremental, not about getting there. It's about being there. Interesting, the name of our show, Being Here. But it's all about being where you are rather than being distracted by your thoughts about some future.
Now, part of why I started the thing about the illuminating the distinction, the way we're using it between change and transformation, is I wanted to use the word consequences, as in there's consequences to your action and consequences to your lack of action. But most of us are trained to hear that word in the good, bad.
Negative, yeah.
It's there's consequences to that. But if I do the dishes after I eat a meal,
the consequence is you're going to have a clean kitchen.
And by the way, Shai is demonstrating that we do finish each other's sentences. We run along similar tracks many, many times, or actually listen to each other's thoughts, so please include it. If you don't clean the dishes after a meal and you happen to bring those dishes into the kitchen, the consequences are the next time you go into the kitchen,
there's going to be dirty dishes.
So it's really about neutrally looking. This is the thing Shai was talking about a little earlier about awareness. It's about seeing how you're operating or not operating, without judging what you see. And if you are kind to yourself about what you see,
and allow it without judging it, it'll complete itself in a minute. That's the third principle of instantaneous transformation. Anything you see without judging and allow it to be the way it is will complete itself in an instant.
Now, you could only be hearing my voice right now about the second principle of instantaneous transformation, which is you can only be exactly as you are in any given moment.
In the current moment of your life, you could only be exactly as you are.
So that includes Shia couldn't have added that piece about the second principle a moment before he did. And you can only be listening to hear what you're hearing right now. In any given moment, things are happening as they are in that moment.
But if you resist what's happening in the current moment of your life, you get stuck with it. And that's the first principle. Anything you resist, don't want, don't like, say no to, you're stuck with. That's what you bring home at the end of the day. That's what you stay up at night thinking about that you should have done differently. Not that you could have.
Which, again, is the first principle. Anything you resist sticks around. Anything you see, observe in a non-judgmental manner, completes itself.
We have a caller.
Let's
Bonnie.
Take her. Hi, Bonnie.
Hey.
Where are you
How
calling
are you?
In from today? We are great.
I'm calling in from New Jersey. Can you hear me?
Oh,
we
yeah,
can.
We can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. So I have a question.
Please.
Okay. So, what are some of the key points or ideas to help me focus on myself when I'm trying to help others and when I'm being pulled in many different directions with friends or family members that have problems or issues or a crisis? And well, I'm trying to be the designated driver.
Okay, well, let's slow down a little bit.
Because you have so many good and moving pieces to your
right.
question, so we want to make sure we address it all.
Firstly, I wouldn't say put your attention on yourself. What I would say is if you have a friend who has a situation or a problem, if you truly listen to their plight, and hear it without judgment and without trying to fix their situation, you'll relieve them of the pressure of holding on to that situation. Because if you hear them and truly listen, you'll have that information and they will be relieved of it. So that's the first thing. If you listen to somebody, not to fix them, not to change them, not to give them a but let them be free of the burden of carrying that problem, if you will, because they gave it to you in their conversation. So if you just hear it, that can be enough for them to be complete with it, and that'll create some space in your life.
You know, the other thing is, I believe your question started with a misconception. Lots of people think that in order to be effective or to be balanced, they need to focus in on something. So in your question, you said, how do I focus on myself so I'm the designated driver? And I want to give you an example of what Shia was just talking about. In my experience of being present, it's inclusive, not focused down. So this is a simple example. Shia and I, on Monday night, drove into the city to lead our Monday Night Alive seminar that happened. And included in that, Bonnie, was we got into the city in time to have dinner and in time to go upstairs to meet with the team who was setting up the room so we could have a little meeting and make sure everything was running smoothly. As we were walking down the street, we weren't focused on getting to the meal. We weren't focused on what we wanted to order. And we noticed a friend of ours walking down the street, and we asked him if he would like to join us for dinner, which he did. And it was really perfect because our friend's mother had died the weekend before. And so we sat at the meal And on the way to the meal and from the meal, talking with this gentleman.
Mostly, however, we were listening to him. We weren't giving him advice. We were hearing his concerns, his frustrations.
And the things he was dealing with, the unexpected familial dynamics that come or can come with that kind of loss. So by the end of our meal, and heading over to for our appointment with the setup team, we included while we were having at the meal, ordering, paying the check, being aware of the time so that we could fully be there with them, but not
our attention was not on us and doing what we wanted. Our attention was being in our moment in this universe and doing what the universe requested of us. In this case, a friend who is hurting because of a deep loss in his life, we just listened to him, not for us, but for him.
But it included that there was a hard end time, meaning if we did listening and did being compassionate, we would sit there long past the time we were due over at the Skyline Hotel where other people were waiting for us. So it wasn't focused down on anything. It was inclusive of everything that was happening in the moment, including greeting and being kind
to the waiter and wait staff,
to the people who are there. I think sometimes we think we have to focus down when really it's the opposite.
You know, see, we've been trained to do this in school.
Yes.
You need a quiet place to study. That's away from everything else so you can concentrate. And I do believe that makes it a little easier to learn something. But if you're not distracted by your thoughts and are looking at what needs to be done, you become very effective.
So in a certain respect, Bonnie, I see another thing too, is that if you are directing yourself to focus down, your experience of yourself may be a bit choppier, like now I'm doing this and now I'm doing that, where your life gets segmented rather than a flow.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I hear from you is something I see people often battling with. You underestimate how great a heart you have, how great your intentions are, how much you care about doing a good job with your family and at work and with your friends and being caring. And sometimes I see people tending to second guess themselves along with taking actions. And that second guessing leaches out your sense of yourself and also keeps you a step removed from, as we were saying before, living life directly, being in real time, because you're second guessing to see if it's an appropriate expression of yourself rather than just expressing yourself.
And it really involves trusting yourself to be a great person. And we know you, and you are, so you don't have to worry about that. And if you don't have that experience, trust our experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's very helpful.
Thank you.
We're so happy we could
thank
be.
You.
You're so welcome.
Thanks for calling in.
And with that,
let's
go to a break.
Yes, thank you, Bonnie. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back shortly.
So come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shaya Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you, too, can experience Ariel and Shaya's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com to receive free video and audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com.
health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books that will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. Ariel and Shia also invite you to attend their fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Kane's books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. So why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting transformationmadeeasy.com. That's transformationmadeeasy.com.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-888-346-9141. That number again is 1-888-346-9141. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back to Being Here.
If you're listening to this show in the archive sometime down the line, then the courses we are about to announce may not be current.
Available.
So what you should do is just go to our website,
transformationmadeeasy.com,
and look and see what we are offering. But right now, if you're listening to this in relatively current time, we're offering for the last time. Everybody thinks this one is going to happen over and over, but as far as we know, this will be the last time we're offering The Freedom to Breathe and Art of Being a Healer. It is in New York City, December 6th, 7th, and 8th. It has been one of our most popular seminars over time, but we're getting ready to retire it and do something else. So just wanted to say that because I sometimes think people say, I'll do it next year or the year after. I just wanted to let you know, if you have a desire to do it, you should come to this one. It is a very easy, sweet, experiential drop into your body, distress yourself before the holidays type seminar. In January, we thought we'd start the year
with fun as the access way to enlightenment. And that's on January 10th, 11th, and 12th. That's Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday.
And then we're away for a little bit.
We're going to Costa Rica. We do a immersion course that's either 1 or 2 weeks long in instantaneous transformation. And you're welcome to join us for that. It does have a prerequisite, and that is that you attend a weekend seminar with us prior to Costa Rica, so we see if we work and play well together.
This past Monday night, people were talking about weekend seminars. And once again, people were expressing they're not sure how it works, but how life becomes three-dimensional, how each moment matters, how there's more space between the moments, how they get more done in less time with less stress. If you want excellence in every aspect of your life, join us for a seminar. Again, you can find out more or register for any of our courses
at transformationmadeeasy.com.
Let's take our next caller.
I'm ready.
Eric, are you calling from Brooklyn?
I am.
Eric, are you calling?
Hi, Ariel and Shia.
There you are.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Ariel and Shia. Hi.
Yeah,
so
where
I'm
are you
calling
today?
From New York City, Manhattan.
Uh-huh. Manhattan, there you are.
Yeah, a gorgeous, brisk day.
Love yes.
I feel it's paradoxical, even this whole question of driver's seat, and I'm a little confused, actually, because I like to be in control of things.
Right.
But I also know, or I've had the experience, that control is an illusion. There's so much beyond my control. And literally,
yes,
in everyday life.
Well, even the brisk weather today. You can't control the weather, but you can
appreciate
it or not appreciate it, and it's your choice.
Right, and so I have gloves, and I have a lot of scarves, and I get to pick a scarf that goes with my outfit, and that's my control, I guess.
Yes.
And I enjoy it.
You have control over something else. And you may not be aware of it, because life happens and it stimulates upset and emotions and thoughts. But you do have the ability to choose what you're having in the current moment of your life rather than disagree with it and wish it were different.
Now, notice he didn't say choose what you want to have. He's talking about choosing what's actually happening.
Right.
Well, and I know you...
Hang on a second. I said right pretty quickly. Sorry.
I'll give you an example.
I'm sorry. Yeah, thanks.
Okay. I know you've been on previous shows. I know you're a friend of ours, as you know it. And I imagine people who've been listening to this show for a while may even recognize your voice. And just to remind people that a couple of years ago, and he's talked about it on the show, and they both talked about it in public even recently, Eric's wife, Holly, discovered she had a brain tumor. So were in deep pain in the moments you chose not to have that. You didn't want that, clearly. Who wants a brain tumor? But you, when you engaged with it, almost like this is what's happening and I'm having it. Life became full of possibilities as opposed to
some dread future that your mind teases out in its bid to survive.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
So
yeah, that's accurate.
Today in the minutia, you saw that the temperature was colder than it's been in a while. It was below freezing level, and you chose a scarf to have that be a comfortable or as comfortable as possible, and sounds like fashionable event, as opposed to going outside underdressed so you could be right.
And complaining about the weather.
Right. Right. And, you know, the weather, it's... I love that you brought up the Holly situation, and everybody who knows us knows she's doing great. But it's really... What has been magnificent about that experience is we have used it as a way to not wait for anything that we want to do. And it's completely changed just how we're living our lives. Not that we're concerned that something is going to happen, but we're keenly aware that, as I've heard you say, we're all born with a death sentence.
Yes, life is finite.
Yeah. And so, coming to Mondays and seminars in Costa Rica has helped me build that muscle of when I do, you know, react to life, I see more quickly the opportunity to then choose.
Well,
living in the upset.
Yeah, if you relax rather than tense against it, it gives you some space to see that you're not the upset, but it requires slowing down enough to get into current time, where most of us go off to some future which is full of dread.
But you know, I will look for one. The other thing that you may not be accounting for is that you recognize what you want. You know, if I look at Bonnie's question, and I think Bonnie's a really smart person, And one of the things that happens for a lot of us is we don't just look at what we want. We have a whole series of internal things like what's the right thing, what's the wrong thing, what's the best thing. Like there's this gap between us and activity because we're weighing the consequences of our actions. We're weighing whether or not we're good people. We're not, we might even hide from ourselves the things that we really want because they could be inconvenient. Or you might get a no. So there may be people listening to the show who hide from themselves how much they are interested in asking somebody out because there's the concern that they might be rejected. So you hide all sorts of things under layers of yourself so you don't have to be confronted with the possibility of taking action.
Right. Well, I've definitely seen more that I do. Like you say, there's not a lot of gap between I want this, let's do
but
this.
One of the things you forget, like when you first started attending our seminars, it was some time ago and you were in a different marriage and the marriage was really uncomfortable for you. Neither one of you were happy in it, but there was a gap between you and looking at that and taking action for both of your sakes, actually, because you
right.
had the internal process that you couldn't for whatever reason.
Well, and here's the other thing. You are in a relationship, and if you looked at getting out of that relationship, the only kind of relationship you could see yourself in was one similar to the one you had been in before.
Right.
A repeat.
Like a repeat of a previous. Say again, please.
A repeat like we used to have on TV shows, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You tune it in and hopefully a new show, but...
Yep.
So you'd have a different person, but it would be the same person, basically, because that's what you had from a history created, and so you couldn't conceive of something else. I remember once I was working for a company in San Francisco. This is about 40 years ago, and they said... Take a look and see what you would do if your job were terminated. First thing I did was go in complete and total panic. Then I looked at what I had done in my past, and I had been a carpenter, and so I, at one point in my life, and so I thought, well, I guess I could get a job being a carpenter. But I couldn't conceive of what I do now. It was just not, it was outside my reality.
And he couldn't conceive of a job that he had between that job and this, which is where he discovered himself as a healer, and that as he directed people into their and their awareness into their bodies, that even chronic pain could disappear in an instant. That was not in his reality yet. So when you're thinking of what might be possible,
you can't think something that doesn't already have existed in your experience. You know, you just don't have concepts. Like, you don't know what life is like on Mars, if there was life on Mars.
Right.
Another
yeah,
one
I,
is,
I,
you know you don't know how to speak Swahili.
That's true.
Right. So, but so you can't even imagine speaking Swahili.
Not until this moment, and sort of, but not really.
Yeah, because I don't know one word in Swahili. I imagine you don't know one either.
But before you have the
Brooklynese, perhaps.
Yeah, the lifestyle and the, the before you had the partnership you have with Holly, you couldn't conceive of that either.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And that's
when you're lost in an upset, Eric, you cannot conceive of well-being. And if you're lost in an upset, you even lose any memory of well-being.
Yeah, it's very much a, oh, we're upset again or still.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I find that I get excited more and more in my life because I don't know what's going to happen, and that actually is not frightening, but it's exciting.
Good so for thanks. You.
I know for a fact that you are coaches in that in helping people or me to see the excitement of what's coming or not knowing.
Thank you. You know, to make a terrible analogy, not that terrible, but you don't need to know the road ahead in order to drive it.
That's a good analogy. I like that. But if you're looking at your past to figure out what the road in front of you is going to do, it's like driving down the road looking in the rearview mirror. You will have some dings on your car.
The other thing, you are a driver. So I know that you know what it's like to be behind somebody who's intermittently thinking. They'll speed up, they'll be at speed, and then they will not notice that they've taken their foot off the
accelerator,
and they will go slowly, or they'll look at something other than what they're doing, and their car weaves around. So it's really about being where you are, doing what you're doing, and that's where all the juice of life comes from.
Right. Hey, Eric, thank you for calling in. We have another caller
on
hold.
Love you.
Love you too, sweetheart.
Babe.
Really, have an awesome, crisp rest of your day.
Yes, and give our love to your lovely wife.
We'll take Emmy. We have a few minutes left in the segment, so we'll get started with her. Hi, Emmy. Where are you calling in from today?
I'm calling in from Richmond, Virginia. Hi.
All right.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
What can we do for you?
I thought it was interesting because I was taking clothes out of my dryer today, and I had this thought pop in that said, who is driving your car? And it dawned on me I was going to be on the show today, but I had that thought. And I went over and looked at it, and it was 11:26, and I said, well, thank you. So I was noticing today, my son, he's 28 years old, and he texted me that he was going to go into work and ask for, he's making $16.50 an hour right now, and he was going to ask for $25, and if they didn't give it to him, he's going to walk out and quit. So what I noticed, what was happening in me was feeling this desperation that I needed to fix it. And I did, I really was able to kind of get through that and just see it. And then I saw another possibility that this really wasn't mine to do. And I just thought it was interesting that I noticed that, oh, wow, I felt really desperate that like it was mine to do. And so when I thought about who is driving, you know, who is designating my life, how often is that happening in my, and I find I feel that way when I'm trying to follow up this kind of fear of rejection with a client, like to ask for business, I feel I see that happening in me. That fear of rejection. I think we were talking a little bit about that. So I'm not sure what happens, but I see that I don't take action.
Okay. Well, look, we've got to go to a break now, but we'll talk about your fear to take action. And fear of rejection when we come back from the break.
Awesome, awesome topic.
Okay, thanks.
We'll be back shortly.
So come on back and don't miss
being here.
Feeling inspired, entertained, enlightened? Would you like more? Ariel and Shia invite you to participate in their fun and lively transformational seminars that have allowed people across the globe to have highly satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Join the Canes and their amazing community live and in person in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Ready to deepen your experience of instantaneous transformation in your career, family, and relationships? Then take the leap. Register today at transformationmadeeasy.com.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on Being Here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. TransformationMadeEasy.com, the Excellence Club. This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-888-346-9141. That number again is 1-888-346-9141. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening. And right now, I want, on behalf of Shia and I and our whole Being Here team for this podcast, we want to thank all of you who've been sharing the show either on social media or with your friends or forwarding a show to someone who you think might benefit. We really appreciate that you've been taking care of other people. And it's really true that transformation grows when you share it. More specifically, we'd like to have a shout out to some of our listeners in different cities around the world where people are listening.
So I'll start with Fredonia, New York.
And Manchester, New Hampshire.
And Harker Heights, Texas.
Roanoke, Virginia.
Panipat, India. And we have a friend there, Christina, who's working there this week and next.
So shout out to you and your friends. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce this, but I'll give it my best bet. Hailu in the Netherlands.
Nantou, Taiwan.
And Hvar, Croatia. Wherever you're listening, thanks for being part of the Being Here
audience.
Family. Yes.
Yes.
All right. We are speaking with Emmy.
From Roanoke, Virginia.
Hey, who knew?
yeah. From Richmond, Virginia.
Virginia. You jumped from Richmond to Roanoke, Virginia.
Richmond. Yep. So, my bad.
Yeah.
Move on.
That's okay.
Hey, you know, so many...
The M and an R. Dyslexia strikes again. Well, there's Roanoke, Virginia. It was one that we shouted out to. That's why it was in my head.
That's right.
All right. Okay. Uh-huh. That's a question.
You know, your son's text spurred so many side channels for me in the thought process and for Shia as well. And of course, that frantic, I want him to be settled and taken care of and have well-being and not financially challenged.
You want your offspring to be successful so you don't have to worry about them. But being part of being a child is to have your parents worry about you. No matter how old you get.
It depends on if his text is to get your attention or to get you to worry or to get you to give him advice or if he's bolstering himself up so he's testing it out on you before he takes it on the road. And I don't know if you're allowed to ask him, do you want any feedback on that plan or not.
But.
Yeah, I, yeah, I, yes. he is willing for me to give feedback. Not at that time. I had to let it go first.
Yes, but it gets your attention.
Yes.
And children require their parents' attention.
Sometimes even adult children require attention.
Mm. That's right.
Yeah. And I remember once as a 20-something person, it wasn't 28, but I had an opinion about how much of a bonus I was getting at work, and I thought it was too pitiful. And I remember seeing my parents' shock, because as business owners, they knew what it took to look and see what kind of bonus they could afford, and that they did their very best to take care of people, and that I was feeling entitled to more was such a shock to them. It really struck me deeply that I was lost in an opinion that I'd gathered like-minded opinions for that really didn't have a basis in reality. That really stuck with me.
The other thing, Emmy, is your son may not want to continue in this job.
And this maybe is out.
Yeah. Yeah, he does have a desire to be in farming again, but he thinks that I should buy him a house and the land and all that, too.
Of course he does. That's the definition of a child.
I want and do it for me.
And mommy, buy it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the only thing is, you said something very interesting this now. You said he thinks he wants to be in farming again. And so I am left with that he tried that. It wasn't satisfying. He went to something else that he thought would be more satisfying. And now that isn't satisfying. So he's going to go back to what he knows called farming.
Yes,
you know,
that's true.
Am I accurate?
Yeah. You're accurate. Yes, absolutely.
Good.
We had so much fun this past weekend. We did a course called Being in Nature. And one of the individuals who came, his name is Michelle, really lovely man, currently living. He's a scientist. He currently lives in Switzerland, and he's engaged to a lovely lady in New York. So they're doing what it takes to make the move possible so he can come to New York. And one of the things we were talking with him about is that it's his best course of action is to work
where he's working with a full engagement in what needs to be done there, not as he wants to get over this to get onto something else.
In that if he does it fully with passion, so that it's the best it's ever been, it'll be a springboard into his life.
Whatever's next.
But when you say, oh, this isn't it, I'm going to retract my energy and then
see what I can figure out. That you never see, if this isn't it, well, this is where your life is taking place. So this is it. You may not like it, but you won't like whatever you get anyway.
Then you're no longer the designated driver, you're the designated
complainer.
Complainer and coaster. Mm-hmm. You're coasting along, hoping for something you like better. Now, mind you, we're not giving you this information so that you can go out and fix your son with, but you were talking about wanting to be liked. And I think every time you take a look to see whether or not your advice for clients leads you to being liked, you step out of the moment and into your thoughts.
Yes.
Like now.
Wow, I can see that. Yeah. I can see this, yes. Yes.
It's really nice hearing you again.
Yeah.
It's
it
good
is.
To hear you guys too.
Really sweet of you to call in.
Yes,
too.
Thank you. We have one more.
Yeah,
call.
And I look.
You look. Yes.
I look forward to seeing you in New York. Yeah.
Oh, excellent!
In,
that's
December.
Great. Oh, yeah. Great!
Excellent.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing you then too, there, Emmy.
Excellent.
Thank you.
You're very, very Bye-bye. Welcome.
Okay, we've got one more caller, Lynanne.
Hey, Lynanne.
Hi, Earl and Sire. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. Are you still in New York City?
I am. I'm still in New York City. I'm in Manhattan today. And this is a really cool topic. So I'm currently dating, and there's one particular man that I've been dating a little more frequently than others. And I've been getting really interested in the way that my mind has some old driving habits from past relationships.
Okay.
And interacting with him and how I think dating looks and how I think relationships look. And I thought it would be cool to talk to you guys about it.
Well, what about it would you like to talk about?
Well, I think that I have some fear about old ways of being that I judge and I wish were different, coming into something new and fresh with him.
When you sit down and have a meal with him, what language are you speaking? French, German, English?
English.
Well, isn't that an old habit?
Yeah.
You know, of course,
you're years.
Yeah, so of course you're going to bring old habits in. You can stop worrying about it.
But if you see, but you see, here's the thing: you want to get rid of old habits.
I do.
And that's the first principle of instantaneous transformation. Resisting what you think may show up will only produce what you resist.
Yes.
So,
and you also have the mistaken conclusion that those relationships ended due to those old habits.
And something you did or didn't do.
And they were perfect.
Well, you say that, but I don't believe you believe that. Hello?
I'm thinking.
Yes, I know you're thinking.
They were perfect. You wouldn't be concerned with old habits recurring because that was perfect. So that habit
was perfect. And so why worry about it? See,
I don't feel like I worry about it before a date. Like I'll be in an interaction and like it'll come up in the moment as a, oh, this feels like something that's happened before. Or I feel like I'm saying something I've said before.
Of course. But look, our lives are repeats. We repeat each day most of the thoughts we had the day before. Like 90% yes. of them, 95%. Okay? So it isn't surprising you'll have repeating patterns of behavior or thought. However, if you're there for it, you don't have to believe those things to have inevitable ends.
Right. Yes.
See, here's the thing. You're trying to think how to control how your future shows up.
Yes.
So it's not just noticing how you're being. You've got a whole list of things that you think you've done wrong in the past that worked out the way they did because they did. So therefore, they were perfect. And so you're trying to ensure that doesn't happen again by avoiding that. But anything you resist, you persist it.
You know, the other thing, Lynanne, you're enough skilled at alternative thought process ideas, not just our transformational approach, but all of the courses that you've taught, that you've been a party to, where I'm not sure you're willing to be honest with yourself about certain thought processes. So if something comes out of your mouth that's similar to what you had said before that you don't approve of, you hide from yourself if you have the thought, man, I really hate that I just said that, because hate is bad and love is good and we should be neutral. But if you notice that you say something and you just hate that you just said that, and you notice both of those things without judging yourself either for having said it or for hating that you did it, then you have options available. But if you try,
then you become the designated driver in your own life. But see, you think you'd drive your life differently if you could than you are. And that's the fallacy. That's the mistake. You think you'd do it differently, except if you keep doing it that way, that's the way you like to do it. For whatever the payoff is in it. I don't know what the payoff is, but whatever it is, that you keep doing things that you say you don't want to do, there's got to be a payoff.
And just one other thing, Lynette, it's interesting when you talk about dating, it's almost as if you're talking about a segment of your life that's distinct from the rest of your life, rather than it being an outflow of how you relate to your life. She's thinking.
She's thinking, dating. Yes.
Yes, I'm thinking. Yeah.
And you know, how you do anything is how you do everything.
And so, if you think about everything, that's what you do. But if you don't make yourself wrong for thinking about it, it'll probably get easier.
I have a suggestion for you in your dating life. And this is leads us to next week's show.
Have fun.
Have fun, yes.
How do you like that?
I love it.
Yes.
And you know, next week's show is The Power of Fun. And we've run to the end of our time, so we need to go. Thank you for calling in. Thanks for listening. You want your podcast made easy? Subscribe, share it. We'll be back
next week.
So come on back.
And don't miss being here.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another empowering episode of Being Here.